For almost 7 years, I worked as a chaplain at Edmonton Institution for Women, and believe it or not, we didn't plan to have Ava and her group here. I arrived and was reminiscing with Kevin over being in the chapel at the prison singing Disney songs with the women. I mean, Idina Menzel's got nothing on us. We really ripped Let It Go, didn't we? I was so blessed to work with Ava and with Kevin in our work with bringing music into the institution. What a delight to have all of you here. I'm so grateful for your singing. O Salutaris will never not make me tear up, I think, Ava. During the time I worked at the prison, I developed a course that was titled, Who Am I? I came up with the idea for this course because of the incarcerated women that I met day after day. I saw a pattern. These women did not know who they were. Their life circumstances and suffering did not afford them the privilege of time, care, compassionate love, safety, and space to nurture self-understanding and self-knowledge. These women knew too well what other people believed they were. They knew who the system thought they were. They knew what their peers and families and society and traumatic experiences told them about themselves. But again and again, I saw women that did not know themselves personally. In our initial meetings, I would engage with questions, asking them who they were and where they came from. I was heartbroken when I realized how many of them couldn't answer the simple question like, what's your favorite color? Initially, I would ask, when you were a little girl and someone said, what do you want to be when you grow up? How did you answer? I began to work on this program when woman after woman said, nobody ever asked. I was crushed, but also motivated to offer them a safe space and support for this journey of self-discovery. So together, me and many, many women examined and nurtured curiosity around personal preferences and passions, personality types, core values, healthy boundaries, everything from what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite color, how do you take your coffee, to what are your core values, and how can you nurture and protect those values, and how can your behavior align with those values and lead you into the life you desire. You can imagine with me the fascinating, heartbreaking, sometimes funny, often painful, and beautiful stories that I heard from these women as we explored the question, who am I? It was an exquisite privilege to watch women, often for the first time, explore their own desires and passions and cares. As these women discovered who they were, the seeds of hope were planted. And it continues to be my hope that those seeds continue to sprout and grow. It seems to me that knowing who we are, what matters to us, what we care about, and who we care about sets the trajectory for our lives. Who do you say I am? This is the question that Jesus asks his disciples in today's passage. And as such, it is the question that we are offered this morning to think about, to mull over, and to respond to ourselves. Who do I believe Jesus is? Who we believe Jesus to be will impact how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we treat others, and how we treat the world. As we take this time this morning to look at our passage, we're not asking, who am I, but rather, who do we believe Jesus is? If knowing ourselves can transform us, how does knowing who Jesus is impact our lives? As we look at the passage, we can see Peter, a popular disciple, perhaps due to his very relatable behavior, speaking before he thinks again. I love this about Peter. The way he says things, the first thing that comes into his mind, he jumps out of the boat, he lashes out with passion. He has so often been criticized for this and made an example of. But in today's passage, his enthusiasm is rewarded by Jesus, who blesses Peter and establishes him as a father of the church. In today's narrative, Peter's enthusiastic, instinctive, spontaneous, profound answer is the right one. It's not just the right answer intellectually. Peter's is an answer based out of experience. He has been witness to healings and acts of generous mercy. He has twice eaten bread multiplied. He has experienced Jesus, watching and listening and learning. He has sat at Jesus' feet and walked side by side with him. Peter's answer is quick and passionate, not just because he's reactive and impulsive, but because he has experienced who Jesus is. He was not simply told about it. He wasn't convinced of the answer. The merit of it wasn't argued. He knows that Jesus is not just another prophet in a long line of prophets like some in this story were suggesting. He knows what it is to be loved by Jesus and to witness the counter-cultural, radically inclusive, non-judgmental, compassionate, and transformative person of Jesus. In a hostile land filled with power struggles, hatred, and suffering, Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Do you have an answer to this question? Who do you say I am? I'm grateful to this text for offering us space to reflect on our own answer. Do we have an academic answer to the question? A theologically informed answer? Or do we have an answer that bursts forth like Peter's? Enthusiastic, passionate, born of experience, born of a personal encounter with the radical love of Jesus. I think our answer matters. It informs our lives. It influences our relationships, our consumption, our politics, our entire way of being. How we answer the question matters. Who do I believe Jesus is? Could I answer as confidently as Peter? In the first reading this morning from Romans 12, we heard Paul's beautiful, poetic, and complex, arguably one of his most beautiful pieces of writing, stating, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And while Romans 12 is rich and worthy of many sermons on its own, this morning it calls out to me like an invocation speech. If you know who Jesus is, be humble. If your gift is teaching, my friends, teach with passion and devotion. If it is encouragement, encourage boldly. If it is giving or leadership or mercy, do these things with generosity and diligence and a cheerful heart. Live a life informed, transformed, and emboldened by the incarnate knowledge of God's radically loving and inclusive revelation. To live with the internalized awareness of who Jesus is to live intentionally, embracing the interconnectedness of all things. It is to live a life of kinship with the world. Richard Rohr says this, "A mature Christian sees Christ in everything and everyone. The point of the Christian life is not to distinguish oneself from the ungodly, but to stand in radical solidarity with everyone and everything." Who do you say I am? In these days of cultural unrest, incomprehensible and reprehensible political leadership, catastrophic global warming, AI, war, poverty, widespread disregard for every human life, so many people are abandoning their practices of faith and community. What's the point? They ask, and at times I ask, and perhaps you too ask. What does my faith have to say to this shattered world? My meditation on today's passage reminds me that I do know the point. I know why I continue to return to my practices of faith and community here with my beloved friends at FBC Edmonton. Like Peter, I know the answer to Jesus' question. In our Matthew narrative and in the beautiful writings of Paul in Romans 12, I hear my soul's answer. I know who Jesus is. I know that the way of radical inclusion, the way of love and compassion, the way of the incarnation is the path to hope. Like the beloved women with whom I explored their identity in the Who Am I program, I'm changed by the question and my journey to embody and integrate the answer into my life. It is on this foundation that the church is built. On more than only an intellectual understanding of who Jesus is, it is built on the life-transforming answer to the question, who do you say I am? The church continues to be built when we, who in the same spirit as Peter, exuberantly and wholeheartedly draw others into kinship, radical, inclusive community with one another and the world in the name of Jesus. As together, we cry out with our lives, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are Christ, love incarnate. You are life. You are hope. My friends, may we remember the point of this gathering, this community, and these practices. May we make compassion and kinship with one another and the world our core value. And may we live our lives in ways that bring the love and hope of Christ to the world. Amen.